We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm going to try to host today, guys. Welcome to the Miami Heat Beat Podcast. I'm going to do my best G impression. And with me today is Frankie G. And Pablo is also behind the scenes running the producing side of the show. But, I mean, welcome into an exciting Heat versus Pistons game. We're not going to talk about it with the Pistons. We're going to focus on the vibes today. You know what time it is, Frankie.
What is up, Lou? Chat is asking for it. Light the beam. Light the beam.
We're back, baby. We're so back.
Let's effing go. I'm doing great, bro. How are you?
Oh, man. Hungover, but we're here, baby. We are so here. It was a crazy game from start to finish. It was just entertaining is the word I will say. What did you, in particularly, Frankie, how did you feel going into this game, considering the injuries? Obviously, you know, we tend to play better with a player down. But, man, just basically, how did you feel going into the game today, considering Jimmy and Jovic and obviously Tyler and Kevin have been out?
Ah, man, I was looking at the lineup and I was like, who the hell is going to step up tonight? It's got to be somebody. Usually one of these games, you hope for somebody, a role player that doesn't play much to get hot. None of them got it going. Duncan carried us. Bam and Terry were pretty steady throughout the game. Terry, horrible fourth quarter for him, decision-making wise. Lot of late clock, of early clock, bad shots, fadeaways, contested shots. And but overall for the game, Terry had a solid game, kept them steady. Bam was pretty quiet, mostly scoring wise, but I was excited just for the opportunity. These are the games that, you know, Spo's a sicko and loves these kind of games. And I wanted to see how they match up, because Detroit, as bad as their record is, they still have a lot of talent there and a lot of athleticism. But you can see they lack experience there.
Yeah, you could that Detroit team. I was looking at it at like for a second, and I was like, "That's a top five pick. That's a top five pick. That's a top five pick. That's a top five pick.
That's a lottery pick.
That's a lottery pick." And it's like, I'm like, "Damn, maybe you shouldn't trust the process." You know what I'm saying? You know, but it was an exciting first quarter. You know, started out, Duncan got us going. Fastest player in NBA history to 1,000 three-pointers in terms of games played. Beating Buddy Hield by 7 games. I don't know if he may make it to 1,100, because I think this is when Curry really picked it up.
Yeah.
But regardless, it was more about the three today. It was way more than just about the three today for Duncan. What did you think? Because he was fucking short, nothing short of sensational today.
Man, the confidence. He was, we know Duncan as the guy getting a lot of movement threes, a lot of off the screen, off the DHOs. like getting them wide open. But the first one he hit, he took it with the guy closing out right in his face, and hesitated for a second and said, fuck it, I'm going to still shoot this. I'm 6'8". And he started letting them fly. He was letting it fly in a multitude of ways, and the Heat badly needed. He had 7 threes. The team had 12. So that goes to show you how badly every single one of his were needed and necessary.
Yeah, yeah. He was 7 for 12. The rest of the team, 5 for 23. God. It was a yikes performance. Him and Bam shot 8 for 13 from three.
Let's effing go.
No, nah. But yeah, Duncan was sensational again. He did not let himself get outdueled by the cream combo of Fontecchio. That's a little mascarpone.
Nice over here.
The Italian ice and Evan Fournier. I think mascarpone is French. I think I fucked it up. But anyways, he did not let them come out here and take his shine today. He said, I'm not just getting my 1,000 three-pointer. I'm getting 6 more on top of the 1,000.
Yep.
And every single one of those baskets was crucial. Duncan single-handedly stopped 2 or 3 runs, particularly in that second quarter. And then later on in the fourth as well. Like, just... it's gotten to a point, and it, you know, call it the Glazing Duncan podcast, I guess. It's Glazed Dunkin' Donuts today. But he's, man, sincerely, he's the whole engine of an offense at throughout this entire season. It's felt like during very significant stints, whenever it's clogged down, it's just, where's Duncan? Let's find Duncan. And he bailed him out several times. The 4-point play in the fourth quarter, the corner three that Rozier threw him a grenade. And he made, like, just sensational play after play. The pass baseline to Hawkes, completely rounding out his game.
Man, he's been arguably their most offensive talent for years. Since the 1920 season, when he came out the gates blazing hot with the 3-point percentage, the amount of threes he was taking, the coverages he was getting. The attention he was getting. But every year, every time he plays, they have a good offense. When the season, the 22 season, as soon as they started winning games, but when it came down to it in the playoffs, they were struggling to score. And a lot of it was because Duncan, they couldn't hit threes. They didn't have a lot of guys in the rotation shooting threes besides like Max and Gabe. And their shots weren't falling. And you know, Tyler, with the injuries, Duncan – was badly missed. Him getting back into the rotation last playoffs brought it, and being healthy, got some consistency, got him going. A lot of games in the playoffs won. And this season, every time he's in the game, the coverages on him, the attention, the focus, they're throwing 2 guys on him. Guys get to eat and play off of him. It's just, he's way too important for this team.
Yeah, he's been crucial. Another guy who's been stepping his game up, especially as of late, it's Terry Rozier. And you kind of touched on him in some aspects. But I want to say he's doing a lot more than I thought he would have done in terms of a more all-around game.
Right.
Yeah, the fourth quarter was tough. The decision-making wasn't where you wanted it to be. But during that second quarter, and even the first, like, during the first 3 quarters, he was playing really, really good basketball. Yeah. Getting guys involved. I don't feel like he's been into the over dribbling things. He does it at times. But I feel like he's actually, you know, not afraid to get off the ball and get people involved. But just right. I want to talk about the defense that he's been providing. It, you know, he's not an elite defender. That's not what he is. But he came back here. He came here with a bad defensive reputation. Have you seen anything that leans you either way, or do you think he's somewhere in the middle now?
I think he's solid. He's capable. He's a capable and willing defender, and that's all you really need a lot of the times, because he's got he's got a strong frame. He's got a 6'8 wingspan. He competes on that end. It's not always pretty. Like, you don't want him to guard at the point of the attack. You don't want him guarding the team's best offensive player. But he battles out there. He gets a lot of strips and deflections.
Digs real good as well.
Digs really well, especially on when he switches with Bam and he's got to front the post. If the ball gets in there, he's battling in there. He's scooping. He's trying to get that shit out of there. And he does a really good job. I don't mind him at all on that end, especially because it's not like he doesn't get overpowered. And that's the problem with a lot of those like weak defenders, that when you get overpowered, like you get in foul trouble, you're an easy pressure point for the defense. like how Duncan used to be, where he would get posted up and he'd start pushing him or hugging the guy.
Yeah, just
take the foul, Duncan.
Yeah, he doesn't do a lot of that.
No.
And one thing that I will say offensively he's done very well is take care of the basketball, guys.
Yes, absolutely.
9 assists, no TOs today for Terry. He shot 8 for 20. Yes, you know, 20 shots, like 17, 19 points isn't exactly what you want.
No.
But he's been doing a lot of things right. You know, sometimes the shot isn't falling. Sometimes he's a little trigger happy. I think they needed him to be trigger happy today.
Yeah.
Considering absolutely. No Jimmy, no Tyler, obviously, no Love, no Jovic. Like, we needed somebody to take the shots up. And he did.
Yeah, he had a lot of grenades too, yeah, against the clock, forcing it. But like you said, took care of the ball, 9 assists, 0 turnovers, plus 20 in a 3-point win. All right. So he did enough and he helped set the tone for them. He was a big catalyst in that second quarter when they went on that big run to build that lead and build that momentum for them.
Do you think the plus 20 was him or was it the backup point guard situation today? Because, you know, we're going to get to Bam in a second, but I don't know who looked comfortable out there. Patty didn't look comfortable. Patty hasn't looked comfortable for a couple games now. I don't know if DeLon looked, I don't think he looked bad. He just missed a lot of gimmies, so it made him look a little worse. But Spo, the leash was short with DeLon today because he wasn't playing horrible, and then he just yanked him right out after he missed 2 layups. He was like, yep, this is your time.
I was surprised he played as much as he did, honestly. He played 21 minutes. When I saw that in the box score, I was a little caught off guard.
Didn't feel like he played 21 minutes.
It did not. But he, you know, he battled out there. There were a couple of shots he missed. There was a putback that he kind of mistimed it, jumped too early, and was coming on the way down. There was some that there was contact. He just couldn't finish. But so overall, I was satisfied with him. His decision, he takes care of the ball. He competes. And like, it's not all on his shooting like it is with Patty. Like if Patty's not hitting shots, like offensively, he's giving you nothing.
Yep. Or defensively as
and
well.
Defensively as well. Yeah, like Patty is a guy who like flails a lot and swings. Like he'll take charges. I like that about him. But if his shot's not falling, he's rough. He's not getting attention like you'd hope. And I understand they need the shooting, but he's not hitting shots either. And I like DeLon's steadiness on both ends a lot more.
Yeah, it feels like almost Patty comes in with the bench and like they're trying to utilize him in the same sets that they're running Duncan in.
Yeah,
but Duncan's a better Duncan just does everything else that you'd like. And Patty, like you said, if his shot's not falling, if he's not scoring, he's snoring, unfortunately. He's been doing a lot of sleeping lately.
Oh man.
But we gotta get to who we gotta get to. Who the people came for, Frankie. Bam Adebayo. Take me through your thoughts of him during this entire game. In particular, I want to start with the defense because we know what he did at the end of the game. But defensively, what did you think of him today?
Man, I was waiting for Bam to get teed up because him and all the bigs were getting into it all game long. Scrappy. With the physicality. They were him and Wiseman were really getting at it, throwing elbows and shit. There was Stewart was coming down right before Bam's trying to like seal him up in the high post, and Stewart's throwing one elbow, 2 elbows, and a shove to try to get positioning. I'm like, all right, let's battle, let's play with this physicality. I like this, but he embraced it. Defensively, he was everywhere. I thought offensively, he wasn't super aggressive, which you know I'm sure people look at the shot attempts, you know, and see that he didn't take a lot. He didn't. He got to the free throw line 2 attempts at the line, but I felt like this is overall the kind of game you really kind of want from Bam. The shooting, the aggressiveness inside, he was attacking the post, attacking them, mismatches, trying to get to the rim. And he could have gotten a couple more calls there, but I liked his game overall. This is more of the all round game that I like to see from Bam. How about you?
He was fucking sensational. Honestly, just everything in terms of effort wise, like you were stating, like people were trying to get under his skin. They have 3 bigs that they threw at him, and he just didn't force anything. I like that today. I think today was, and you know, you would think with all these people out, like he would have probably forced some more shots up. I like that he didn't. I like that he, right. You know, it's a thin line between forcing And like when being you're not aggressive. Forcing, between forcing being aggressive and also not forcing and being too passive, like that, those are all very thin lines. I thought he teetered perfectly in the middle today. I thought his looks, he was very diligent with all of his moves. He got to the rim when he needed to. I like the fact that he had Fontecchio out on a three-pointer early in the game, and it looked like he pump-faked it. My dad was like, shoot it. I was like, I like what he did. He took him straight to the paint, got him right to the basket, hit a little baby hook over him. And then, you know, obviously, defensively, man, it's getting to a point where we need to do a better job of pushing agendas. We need to stop hating people for, like, not voting for him. But we need to fuck, like, Miami Heat, please. We need a defensive player of the year candidacy started from fucking October. When does season start? When the fucking season starts, started a month earlier. Like, I'm tired of this. He's made play after play. He made Marcus Sasser, a point guard, pick up his dribble and double dribble. He's guarding Jalen Duren today, just switching out to Fontecchio and Fournier, making him swing left, swing right, coming back and recovering, literally doing everything defensively and still providing 17 rebounds. Against a big team, because the Pistons are a pretty tall, lengthy team doing a lot of things. But Frankie, take me through the last 24 seconds of that game. We missed the shot. The Pistons grab the rebound. What starts going through your head?
Duncan, with on his 1,003 celebration day with the bad turnover, the Pistons bring it down. They have no shot clock. I'm like, oh, fuck, this is going to be an overtime game or a heartbreaker and an embarrassment. You've already lost to the Wizards. You don't need to lose to the Pistons. I don't need this shit. I don't care how shorthanded are. You have enough to beat them. I'm watching Cade isolate on there. I'm waiting to see if they're going to call a ghost screen or some kind of pick and roll, but they don't want to get Bam in the action. He's obliterated a lot of their good looks, but Cade pulls up with 10 seconds left. Good shot. If it wasn't for that situation.
Yeah, like, if it wasn't for the 10 seconds.
Yeah, like he was open. He was in rhythm. He got the space he needed. But 10 seconds left, that's a lot of time. And Terry does a great job pushing ahead. Bam, you can see Bam trailing the play, looking for it. And he gets it, puts it up, cash money from like 30 feet. I fucking screamed. My cat was laying next to me. I screamed so loud she sprinted to the other room. My girlfriend had a headache too, and she was like, oh my God, babe, what the hell? I'm like, no, this is Bam, a game-winning buzzer beater from fucking 30 feet. This is what I've been waiting for.
And you know what, Frankie? It looks smooth, man.
Bro, this third straight game that he's hit a three. All of them straight cash.
Straight cash.
No rim, no backboard. He not luck. He from top of the key, straight away three. Somebody in the chat mentioned earlier that this is like the Bosch against San Antonio game. I was talking to Tiff about it. When Bosch started taking the threes, it was top of the key early. Top of the key early. And you saw his comfort. Obviously, Bosch is on another level as a shooter than Bam.
Yeah, for
but,
sure.
But Bam, just getting that comfort level and taking that three, that those trailer threes, I love it. I want more. Chat saying I was mistreating my cat. Hey man, she'll understand
one day. No, but it's like you're saying, it looks different when he's comfortable. I don't know when this conversation was had, if a conversation was even had at all. I'm just pure speculating, but it almost feels like Spo didn't want this to happen and Bam's like, it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
and you know, there's been some discourse around if Bam's three, if he's a low percentage three-point shooter, how much does that affect the offense? He's a low percentage mid-range shooter. So I'd take a low percentage three-point shooter. You know, if he shoots 30%, but he's shooting 40% on middies, that's, you know, that's more points per 100 possessions. Like, shit, I'll take the 30% from three. And I think he can shoot better than 30% from three, Frankie. He looks smooth. It looked in rhythm. He caught it in rhythm, released it beautifully. You know, Bam's been saying he's not a center. I don't want to start that whole debate, but offensively, he didn't look like a center on that last shot.
it looked pure, man. That's the thing about it. You know, and I want him to extend the range. I've been more focused on him working on his handles, getting into the line and getting to the rim more. But definitely, like, I've been way more open to it because his hand, like I've always felt like handles are something that are way harder to develop in the league. Like it's usually like you got it or you don't. You can work on your post moves and stuff, but handles, like I think Paul George is like one of the only guys that I can remember improving his handles to the degree that necessary. So Bam, I think it's an easier transition for him to step out, especially when you look at the Jimmy Bam pick and rolls, and they get attention, but it's all inside, and they don't have enough shooters to take advantage of that. They're usually playing; those two are usually playing with a elite shooter like Duncan or Tyler, and then one or two guys who can hit shots, not necessarily the guys who are going to really hit 45% on wide open shots and really take advantage of it. So I feel like he needs to, especially with the Jimmy pick and pop. It'll open up a lot of offense, and his passing game from the top of the key, from the high post is so deadly already. These are all, and they're all good shots. Like a lot of his mid range shit, it's just so contested and difficult. Yep. Fading away, like a low percentage, low value. You want that in his bag, but you don't want that to be his weapon, you know, like his go-to. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I like it. I think he should shoot a couple more a game.
Yeah. The day we start transitioning from like every Bam screen being a roll to like, I used to, you know, I'm not saying Bam's only a pick and pop. Absolutely not. We need him to roll. Like that's what he's good
absolutely
at. But being able to sprinkle in here and there a nice little pop out to the three, even if it doesn't garner attention and it's a good look, and he's hitting at 35-ish%, 33-35-ish%. That's a good, for as bad as our offense is, sometimes that's a fucking great shot. And just creating all that space, like we see what Jimmy does, particularly when Love isn't at the five, like
right,
all the space that is created, not just Jimmy, but it opens up the lanes for Jaime and Caleb and, you know, everybody else. So if Bam could just do just a little bit of that along with his passing, I think it'll go a long way for how long this Jimmy Bam build can, you know, maintain this level of eliteness that we've been used to. But it was a sensational game. Honestly, it sucks that we beat him by 3 points. It's a Pistons, but it is what it is, guys. Like, you know, not every game is a beautiful game. Terry turned 30 today too as well. Happy birthday, Terry.
Happy birthday, Terry. They got the dub.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was just a very cool game. Before we go, because I think it's pretty interesting how Jaime was getting a lot of attention today. What did you think of his game? Like, they were throwing some of the better defenders on him at times, and he was getting the Isaiah Stewart matchup.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of him handling just, like, the spectrum of defenders that he was facing today?
I thought this was a great test for him. Yeah. It wasn't the cleanest game for him, but again, he was another guy that had to take a bunch of late clock shots and a couple grenades that affected his efficiency. But I felt overall he handled the pressure well, the different coverages well, the different bodies well. I loved seeing him have to go against Stewart and have to, you know, use some size, use some speed, use some quickness, and get more into his bag of tricks. That's something he's gonna have to overcome and deal with and get more consistent at. Same way Jimmy has had to do stuff like that. But you see with his ball handling and his ball security, he's got really great ball security. So I'm not worried about him in traffic going against more size. And he's smart enough that he forces the help. He moves the ball well. He doesn't force the issue unless it's like against the clock. So I thought he was, it's well, like there's going to be growing pains for him all the time, especially in games like tonight where, you know, you're shorthanded and, he's got to pick up the slack a little bit from guys that are missing, but overall really satisfied with him. What'd you think?
I mean, I think it's funny how he dribbles like 30 times before he just crosses half court. I think that is hilarious.
Dude, if you watch him on the break, and it's not like he's over dribbling. It's just he takes a dribble every step.
It's bop, yeah. Bop, 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 bop. It's like right foot lands at the same time at the ball every time. And it's like, holy shit, dude. Like, how are you doing this? And it looks so like, I don't know. It looks like somebody's speeding him up, like right, the dribble, like the ball. It
kills me.
But no, I thought he was, you know, the game had his ups and downs for him, but I do think it's good for him to get all these looks in this regular season towards the end of the stretch, because he's somebody they're going to need in the playoffs. obviously we know that that's the case, but him being able to find like little solutions and like little niches to still impact the game. Like he wasn't even heard today and he had like 15, 14 points. Like that's good. Like we didn't even call his name. Like nobody like was like, oh, that's a great Hyman game. He scored 15 points. That's a great game for any other rookie. You get what I'm saying? Just doing the little things, the offensive rebounding.
You mentioned the 15 points. I want to read his whole stat line because, like, to give him the whole credit, 15 points, 4 assists, 3 steals, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, 1 turnover. Like, that's a really great game, like, overall. And like you said, he had a lot more attention. And this was just, like, a game where, like, all right, this isn't, like, a top 10 Jaime game we've seen all year. And that, but you read the stat line, and you're like, damn, that was – really high value game. Like he gave you a lot.
Yeah, considering he's a rookie, has overcome the rookie wall because he had a little stretch there in January, February, which was a little rough. I don't know. He got a little tired, it looked like, after the injury, but he's getting back to himself. We'll see what the team has to do. But thank you guys for tuning in for the Miami Heat Beat podcast, post-game podcast today. Make sure you tune in, subscribe, like, whatever you got to do. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Tell your friends, tell your wife, tell your baby mama. I don't know. Tell whoever you want. But thank you for tuning in. It's our first time hosting. Frankie, tell them where you can find. Tell the people where they can find you at, man.
Frankie G _ on Twitter. We are going to be recording Playoff Foul with Kenny later today. The episode drops tomorrow. And follow Street Beat Pod.
Yes, yes. And we got Pablo behind the scenes. Shout out Pablo for we were not going to record today. We pushed for it and, you know, we got a little episode off for you guys. So thank you guys for sticking with us on a Sunday at like 6 o'clock, like not even 6 o'clock, 5:30. And my name is Saucy Takes, man. Thank you guys. See you tomorrow. Big game against the Sixers. Tied for 7th, 8th in the play-in standings, one game back. Behind the Pacers. So it's a nice little playoff race. Let's go, guys. See you guys next time.
Kyle Lowry revenge game.